This is WKSU News. I'm Andrew Meyer. 50 years ago, the Cuyahoga River caught on fire. It wasn't the first time this had happened, and it really didn't become a big deal nationally until more than a month later when Time magazine ran an article on the fire. The river has rebounded. Watershed is a series from WKSU News looking at our waterways and what the future holds for them. In our opening story, WKSU's Kabir Bhatia and Mark Earhart take a look at the current state of the burning river.
I'm standing on the banks of the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland's Industrial Valley. Today, it looks like chocolate milk surrounded by industry, or the remnants of industry that are slowly being reclaimed by nature. But in 1969, this was one of the nation's most polluted waterways.
On the day the river caught on fire, I had a job working at J&L Steel Mill on the docks of the river.
That's Tim Donovan, executive director of Canalway Partners, which works on community outreach for the Towpath Trail. He arrived at work that day a few hours after the fire was put out. But he says even on days when the river hadn't caught fire, it was still in bad shape.
Working along that river, when you would look down, it was like a bubbling cauldron. And you'd see things floating by, and you thought that they were dead dogs. But you'd look a little closer, and they were rats. But their bodies were blown up due to all the toxicity that they absorbed. The standing rule on the job was if you fell in the river, you go right to the hospital.
3 miles upriver is the former site of Harshaw Chemical. That's where we find Rob Storkel, who works on permitting for the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. Last month, he was there leading a tour of the spot where the Big Creek meets the Cuyahoga.
We know that things are improving. One reason is the river is no longer yellow and stinking of oil and sewage. When water quality is evaluated in the environment, it is done by looking at what is living in the water. Things like the Index of Biotic Integrity, or the IBI, which uses samples of plants and macroinvertebrates like crayfish, snails, and insects.
Storkel attributes much of the improvement in water quality to Project Clean Lake, the city's deal with the EPA to eventually capture 98% of sewer overflows entering the river.
I'm Mark Earhart, and I'm about 30 miles upriver at Akron's sewage treatment plant. Sewer overflows affect water chemistry up and down the river, not just in Cleveland. Cities like Akron have been working for decades to mitigate overflows that send untreated wastewater out into the river. Brian Gresser is the plant manager at the Akron Water Reclamation Facility, as it's officially known. He shows me how the area's wastewater is treated before it's pumped into the Cuyahoga.
This is basically the front door to the plant.
So this is where all of the water from Akron, Cuyahoga Falls, Fairlawn, everything that gets flushed down the toilet comes here?
Exactly. Yep.
It's also where all the water traveling through storm drains gets treated. Having worked here for decades, Gresser has seen some unique things travel through the pipes.
I've seen fish, turtles, money, jewelry, skateboards, saw the soccer balls. Basketballs, saw an orange traffic barrel, inflatable canoe.
The facility sits right next to the Cuyahoga. Other than a distinct odor, it's a picturesque spot with sloping green lawns and trees in the distance. Pulling up an app on his phone, Gresser checks the plant's activity in real time.
So right now the flow is 74.77 million gallons per day. And that's an average flow for us.
But
on the flip side, it can actually jump up into the upper 200s, 240, 250 million gallons per day during a rain event.
Yeah, if we have more than an inch of rain, you wouldn't want to go in the river for at least 24 to 48 hours.
That's Pat Selman, program manager of Akron Waterways Renewed. It's a $1.2 billion project overhauling Akron's sewer system. Like in Cleveland, Akron is under a court order to help mitigate combined sewer overflows, or CSOs, the places where untreated wastewater meets storm runoff in the same pipe.
And to tell you the truth, that's the main concern with the water quality in the river at this point.
The rush of water during heavy rains can overload CSOs, sending raw sewage out into the Cuyahoga and other waterways. Akron Waterways Renewed has spent nearly $600 million so far, separating sewer lines from storm drains and even boring a 6,000-foot tunnel to hold rainwater and combined sewer overflow until it can be sent to the treatment plant.
So 50 years ago, what was the situation with the combined sewer overflow when it rained?
Oh, they would all overflow almost instantaneously when it would start to rain. those overflows would go.
By the time the project is expected to be finished in 2027, Selman says the city's combined sewer overflow points will be cut by more than half.
So the region's sewer systems are now being cleaned up and industrial pollution is being monitored. None of that matters to Mike Zimmerman, who's been fishing at a spot in Cleveland's Industrial Valley for over a decade.
Oh, it's just beautiful, magnificent. The water's calm, cool. You got a nice little whirlpool in front of you with the other side green trees. Just calm, birds chirping in the back. I'm down here 3-4 times a week.
Zimmerman's fishing hole is across the river from Harshaw, a company that once produced uranium for the Manhattan Project. The site is currently being studied for remediation by the Army Corps of Engineers, which has found some uranium, thorium, and radium in the soil.
I mean, there's a lot of chemicals that be going in this water, but let's still fish it. We catch big catfish out of here. Sometimes we eat them, sometimes we just throw them back. It's very relaxing.
Go further upriver, another 13 miles, and you'll find the Brecksville Dam. Pamela Barnes is Community Engagement Supervisor with the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. She's looking forward to the dam coming out this fall since it will improve flow on the river, and that will continue bringing the river back to life.
Once the ecosystem has started to recover, those native species are coming back. So species of fish, and that actually means the bugs are coming back, all those macroinvertebrates, they provide food. So if they weren't there, then the bigger fish wouldn't be there, and the bald eagle wouldn't be here.
But eagle's nests have become an increasingly frequent and exciting find along the river, especially in the national park, and even upriver, where the pollution and sewer runoff are less of a factor.
Here on the upper Cuyahoga, the river is pristine and slow-moving. It meanders from its headwaters in Geauga County down through Manaway, where I meet Bill Zawiski, an environmental supervisor with the Ohio EPA. Standing on a bridge with the river under our feet, he marvels at just how far it has come.
The river is not something you turn your back to. The river is something now that you enjoy.
The upper Cuyahoga has always been a hot spot for canoeing, but Zawiski says you can now see paddlers up and down the river.
And so folks are engaged. They go to the river, they play in the river, they paddle the river, they fish the river, and that is totally different than what would have been 50 years ago.
I'm Mark Earhart.
And I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.
In our next installment of Watershed, we take a look at the Black River, the recovery it's made, and the work left to be done. You can find more about Watershed, including firsthand accounts of what our waterways were like in the past, at WKSU.org.